Romans 16, verse 17. Let's go ahead and get started this evening with our Bible study. And it starts in verse 17. Now I beseech you, brethren, mark them which cause divisions and offenses contrary to the doctrine which you have learned, and avoid them. There's a lot of people out there preaching and saying a lot of things, but you've got to listen to what they're saying. You know, it's not what goes in a man that defiles him, it's what comes out of a man's mouth that is the problem. And you got to listen to what people are saying. You know, what happens if people say salvation is by the death, burial, and resurrection? Is that true? No, I mean, Peter knew about the death, burial, and resurrection, never knew about the mystery. You know, what was the mystery? That Christ died for our sins. And a lot of people say, well, you know, I've got to be good from the point I get saved on and all that confusion. But he says, for they that are such serve not our Lord Jesus Christ, but their own what? You see that? And by good words and fair speeches deceive the heart of the simple. So you can see that there is a lot of people out there that are engaged in the Word of God that aren't necessarily serving the Lord Jesus Christ. Who are they serving? Their own self, their bellies. They could be serving Satan. That's who we're going to next. Go to 2 Corinthians 11. So doctrine is king. Doctrine is king. What people are saying means something. Yes. Yeah, but he's talking about Paul. You got to think Paul's talking personally. The doctrine, basically, what you've learned from me. Right, okay. You see what I'm saying? He's saying the doctrine you've learned from me, and that's really important because when we chapter 9, the body of Christ gets formed, and all along here, there's doctrinal issues that you deal with. Well, we're going to deal with how do you study your Bible? I mean, how is it that you start? I mean, there's 1,500 pages in most Bibles. You know, they're pretty thick. How do you start? And when you first start coming, it's a little bit, I got a little chance to talk to Renee, and she said, boy, the first time I came, it was kind of, wow, oof. And I said, just hang on, girl. You'll get it. Because everybody feels that way a little bit. Because they've never really heard it. And the more you start building line upon line, precept upon precept, here a little bit. When you start putting those things together, like Psalms talks about, you start to build an idea of what it is you believe. And I think that's very, very important. Look in 2 Corinthians 11, verse 13. There are people out there that aren't working for the Lord Jesus Christ. They look like they're working for the Lord Jesus Christ. They're acting like they're working for the Lord Jesus Christ, but guess what? They're not. And look who these people are. Verse 13, y'all there? For such are false apostles, deceitful workers, transforming themselves into the what? Very important. Not following the apostle, but transforming themselves in what? Which would have to be what? That's right. Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Those 12 apostles. Y'all understand what I'm saying? They transformed themselves in this place when they should only be following what? One apostle. They transformed themselves into the apostles of Christ. Well, guess what? That doctrine doesn't match. That doctrine is not true for today. Is it true in the Word of God? Yes, but is it true for today? No, because there has been a dispensational change. You say, well, Brother Barry, what do you mean? Well, I want you to take two passages. These people are deceitful workers, transforming themselves. And, you know, I was talking, I forgot who it was. I think it was, may have been Tony and Dad. was it you guys, Deborah, that we talked Sunday about the concordance? Or was that Sunday I preached on that? I can't remember. Just recently I mentioned it. You know, if I can go through and look up every word on baptism, I did preach on it, didn't I? Sunday. Yeah, I couldn't remember. And I can go and look every word up in a concordance on baptism, purifications, sprinkling, every word I could think of, and I can come up with 12 baptism, then I know anybody with a sincere heart can do the same thing. You understand what I'm saying? So what's holding them back? Well, you know, I met a guy that used to preach down in the church at Capitol Heights when I lived in Highland Gardens. And the guy got along. He said, you know what? I really believe a lot more like you do than the Baptist church does. I said, why don't you? If I taught what I believed, they would fire me. That's interesting. Mark them which causes divisions and offenses contrary to the doctrine which you learn, and void them. For they are such that serve not our Lord Jesus Christ, but their own bellies, and by good words and fair speeches deceive the heart of the simple. So it's really not up to the pulpit. You know who it's up to, guys? You. You've got to be students. You've got to study it out. You've got to consider the things. And that's why Paul said what he said. Look over in 2 Timothy 2 verse 7 of what you should be doing. Now, how many here want to know everything in the Bible? Raise your hand. All right, good. Good group here. Everybody's raising their hand. I hope you're raising your hand on the internet. You know, look in 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 7. 2 Corinthians 11. Romans 16, verse 17, where we started. Romans 16, verse... Romans 16, 17. In 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 7. Now watch this. Consider what I say. Who's the I? Who wrote Timothy? Paul. You might want to put that out in your Bible if you're not sure. And the Lord will give the understanding in what? All right, so we got to consider what Paul said. Well, what did Paul write? He wrote 13 books, which are what? Romans, Philemon. That's what he wrote. Well, then I can consider what he said about something to what Jesus said about something. Amen? I can look at those things. Patty, we're smart enough to do that, aren't we? I mean, it doesn't take a genius. What does Jesus say about it? And what does Paul say about it, right? So there's two kind of identical questions. I want you to get Acts 16 and Matthew 19. Matthew 19. And Acts 16. We've got a friend that's watching from over, I think, in California. Stan, I hope you're watching. Appreciate you tuning in if you're tuned in tonight and got on. Also like to welcome Joe Glenn. He's pretty excited about life, and I just hope the absolute best for him and his family. They're the ones that came up and sang for us. Remember that? Really exciting. Huh? He's in Arizona. Yeah, the other one's in California, Stan. All right, go to Matthew 19. And we'll read there first, but we're going to go back to Acts 16 in just a minute. I'm going to put these glasses on. I'm straining a little. Verse 16. And behold, one came and said unto him, Good Master, what good thing shall I do that I may have what? Now, you know, that is the best question anybody asked Jesus Christ in the Bible. That is the number one best question. You need to write that in your Bible. That is the number one. hey, what do I have to do to have eternal life? I mean, really, come on. If you're going to ask Jesus one question, wouldn't that be it? That's it. Hey, how do I get eternal life? Now, notice he didn't say, how do I get to heaven? Why? Those in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John are not going to heaven. You got that right? The people in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John are going to inherit the earth as a kingdom of priests. Now, verse 17, and he said unto them, why callest thou me good? There is none good but one, that is God. But if thou wilt enter into life, do what? Jesus Christ said, if you're going to enter into life, you've got to do what? Say it louder.
Keep the commandments.
Keep the commandments. Well, if you're going to have eternal life, do you have to keep the commandments?
No.
Who's your apostle?
Paul.
Who's your preacher?
Paul.
Who's your teacher?
Paul
is your preacher, teacher, and apostle. What does he say to you about the law? You see, go to Acts 16 first. A similar, very similar question was asked Jesus Christ, that was asked Jesus Christ. Paul gets asked here. So I would definitely hold both of those spots and write it down. You're going to turn to Acts 16 and we're going to read verse 30. And brought them out and said, sirs, what must I do to be saved? That's a great question too, isn't it? So now that exact question has been given to Jesus Christ, and that is in Acts chapter 16, or Acts chapter 19, verse 16. Okay, you should have that written there. And here's Paul answering this. Matthew 19, verse 16. And Acts chapter 19, verse 16, you ought to have Acts chapter 16, verse 30. So you have those compared back and forth. You understand? You need to be able to connect Matthew 19 and Acts chapter 16 together. Okay, now look what he says. Look how he answers it. Thou shalt keep the commandments and believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. That's not what he said, did he? Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be what? Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. Believe what? That he went to that cross and died for your sins. Y'all understand? Well, what happened to the law? Look, if you will, in Colossians chapter 2. Look in Colossians chapter 2. How can you keep the law at the same time? Yeah. Yeah. You know, every now and then my doctor side comes out, you know, and I'm just, it's kind of like I get this possession, you know, this quirk, you know, and it just comes out. In Colossians chapter 2, look, if you will, in verse 14, blotting out the handwriting of ordinances, that's the law, that was against us. Why? It was righteous and we were what? Unrighteous. Which was contrary to us. And took it out of the way, doing what? Well, how can you keep the commandments if he's taking the commandments out of the way, nailing it to his cross? So somebody that would tell you to keep the commandments in order to be saved doesn't know the truth of Paul's epistles that said those laws have been taken and nailed to the cross. You're not under the law, but under grace. That's what the Bible says. And if by grace, then it is no more of works. You're not under the law. If you know what the Bible says? Look in Galatians. There isn't any reason for me to give you my opinion. Go to Galatians chapter 5. Verse 1. Galatians 5, verse 1. Oh, I love this book, don't you? I love coming in and studying and figuring out more about it. I just praise the Lord for this book. In Galatians chapter 5, verse 1, he says, "Stand fast, therefore, in the liberty wherewith Christ has made us free." From what?
The law.
The law. "Be not entangled again with the yoke of bondage," which is the law. "Behold, I, Paul, say unto you that if you be circumcised, Christ shall profit you nothing." What Jesus Christ did on the cross, if you're bragging about something you're doing, like circumcision or baptism or walking the aisle or even saying a sinner's prayer, if you're bragging about what you've done, then you've missed the boat. And how much is Christ going to profit you? Zero. Nada. Zilch. Goose egg. What's up with that? What happened, sister? Anyway. Now watch. "For I testify again to every man," verse 3, "that is circumcised, that he is a debtor to the whole law." Now watch this. "Christ has become of no effect unto you, whosoever of you are justified by the law." You tried to keep the commandments? "Ye have fallen from grace." Everybody say that. Ye are fallen from grace. It isn't sin that made you fall from grace. It's trying to keep the law that made you fall from grace. It allows you not to trust in the finished work of Calvary's cross. It allows you to have confidence in your flesh that you're better than somebody else. Well, you know how many are good? None. The Bible said ain't none good. No, not one. You know what? This preacher is a sorry rascal. Thank God y'all didn't yell amen all at once. You are in trouble, Hannah Banana Bud. You are in trouble. Your dad is going to spank you. Don't worry. Hey, don't worry. When you get 17 or 18, you'll get them back. Trust me. All kids have this weird thing. You know, they're great kids until they get like teenagers and then they go haywire. And the only thing good that kids are good for is target practice after that. Oh, grandchildren. They're only good for grandchildren. Do you all understand that if you try to keep the law, you have fallen from grace? Well, listen, if you did what Jesus told him to do to have eternal life, what have you done? You've fallen from grace. Go back to 2 Corinthians 11. Well, I didn't think it was going to be quite that strenuous, but you couldn't hear William. He goes, "Oh, it won't be that hard to find, brother. Don't strain yourself for anything. It's only like 20 pages from where you were." Dale, slap him once, please. Come on, guys. This is so important, isn't it? There's people out there preaching that are sending people to hell, and they're preaching Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John like it's the Gospels. But it isn't the Gospel. You understand? The Gospel is found with Paul. And I'm going to show you why that couldn't be. In 2 Corinthians 11, verse 13, I didn't finish reading there. Now watch this. "For such are false apostles, deceitful workers, transforming themselves into the apostles of Christ." Where would you find those? Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, which would be bad doctrine. "And no marvel, for Satan himself is transformed into the angel of light." Aren't you always curious that when they die, they go to the light? Don't go to the light. I love that. I had this Far Side comic book. I love that. So if you want to get me anything like that, I love them. You know, and there was one, of course, it was right after A Bug's Life, and it's heading right for the lamp. And the guy's going, "Don't go to the light." And of course, is the next thing you see. And the other one that is like that is, there's two mosquitoes. And there's one, you know, the size of Wayne and one the size of Seth. And the one size Seth says, "Pull out, you hit an artery." I love that. I'm like, oh, that was so funny. And I'm like, I get that, you know. They're above our intelligent levels. You have to be intelligent to look at some. There's some of them I don't get. Well, the other day I had this book. It's got about 300 of them in it. And I'm going through this book. And I've read this book, while we're relaxing, and you're sitting there. And then all of a sudden I got it. It's funny. Yeah, they're funny. But now watch. And no marvel, for Satan himself is transformed in the angel of light. Therefore, it is no great thing if his ministers, Satan's ministers, also be transformed into the ministers of what? Man, righteousness. They look good. You see, they put on an air of righteousness. But how many are righteous? There's none righteous. You see, I'm not righteous. I was made righteousness. See, I have no righteousness. If I brought all my righteousness to you and dropped it down to the front of the pulpit, there'd be nothing but filthy rags, Isaiah 64:6. There would be nothing I could brag about. There couldn't be anything that I can muster in my life could say, man, that old Barry's really good. No, he's not. And if you don't believe me, hang out with me and Deborah a little while. You'll find out. She's rottener than I am. And now, Tony, on the other hand, he's a saint. He may be, no, I'm just kidding. You know, 2 Corinthians 11 describes these people preaching a doctrine that has been passéed, dispensationally set aside for the interruption of Paul. And everything starts to change. Go back to Matthew 19. So he told them to keep the commandments there in Matthew 19. Amen? Amen. And Paul said that the commandments have been nailed to the cross. You're no longer under the law. Galatians chapter 3. We're not under the law. But they were under the law. Amen? And you know what those religious leaders would do for you? They would try to put you under the law. You understand? They would try to put you into bondage to control you. Well, brother, I must be a wild horse because I can break those bondages, man. When I heard of grace, I ran right toward the cross. I needed the cross. I needed to be saved. I'm not kidding you. When I got saved, I needed to be saved. And I thank God for salvation. In Matthew 19, but he didn't just stop there about keeping the commandments. Verse 18, he said unto them, which? And Jesus said, thou shalt do no murder, thou shalt not commit adultery, thou shalt not steal, thou shalt not bear false witness, honor thy father and thy mother, and thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. And, I thought about loving thy neighbor as thyself. When I was a neighbor to Larry, he bought a Harley. He didn't buy me one. He didn't say, Barry, can I buy you one? I thought I was going to go buy one, but I'd rather you have it than me. He said, you guys probably couldn't even hear that on the internet, but Larry says, well, you got a Jaguar. Yeah, but my battery's been dead for 6 months. I need to get it running. All right.
I'll put a battery in that thing.
I mean, all it is just sitting in your driveway collecting leaves.
Yeah, but I'll wash it. It'll look good. All right, here we go. Now watch. And the young man said, all these things have I lacked from my youth up. Have I kept from my youth up? What lack I yet? And he said, if thou will be perfect, that is, keep the commandments. Then he said, do what? Go and sell. And you say, oh, he didn't really mean that. Well, that's weird because the people that heard him thought he meant it. Look in Acts chapter 2. I mean, if you're going to enter into life by Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, what would you have to do? Keep the commandments and what?
Sell out.
Go to Acts chapter 2. These people thought he meant it literally. 44, Acts 2, 44. Are you getting any of this, Renee? Starting to come clear, the two programs. Hope you're getting it on the internet. If you have any questions, you can email me at PastorHampton@gmail.com. You can text message me at 334-669-0920. I'll always love to hear from you. And you can write a letter, and you can put a donation if you like, and you can push the donation button on the internet. These are not begging for money, just so that you know, we have it available because we want you to feel partnership with us as we serve the Lord. So I hope you'll come and join us and be part of our fellowship through the internet and share it. Where did I tell you? 44. And all that believed were together and had all things common and did what? And sold their possessions and goods and parted them to all men as every man had need. Why did they sell out? He told them that they were going to have eternal life. Do what? Keep the commandments and sell out, right? Amen. You want to mark Matthew 19, verse 21. Matthew 19:21. And you may want to put Acts chapter 4:31-36 right there. That's the other place they sold out. Acts 4. Okay? 31-36. Okay? Now, he told them clearly to sell out, right? All right? Go to 2 Corinthians chapter 12. My. 2 Corinthians chapter 12. Hope Miss Lisa feels better. She's been sick. If it hadn't rained, I'd have brought Miss Holloway, but I was a little concerned with getting her out in the rain. But Lord willing, she'll be here Sunday, so keep praying for her. All right, everybody there? All right. 2 Corinthians 12, read with me in verse 14. Behold, the third time I'm ready to come unto you, and I'll not be burdensome to you, for I seek not yours, but you. For the children ought not to lay up for the parents, but the parents for the children. Well, how do you lay up at the same time you're selling everything out and laying at the apostles' feet? You can't do it. You've got to choose what doctrine you're going to follow. Well, here's your apostle, here's your preacher, here's your teacher, the Apostle Paul. Jesus said, I've come unto my own, and my own received me not. I'm not sent but unto the lost sheep of the house of Israel. Over and over, 12 men, 12 tribes, 12 thrones, 12 months, one man, one body, one church. There's a huge, vastly difference. And so people say, well, doctrine doesn't matter. Well, if someone's trying to teach you out of Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, they're teaching you doctrine for a Jew. I mean, he asked him, what good thing shall I do that I may have eternal life? And he said, why callest me thou good? There is none good but one. But if thou wilt enter into life, do what? Keep the commandments. And he named 7 of them. And he said, well, I've done that from my youth up. What lack I yet? And he says, if thou wilt be perfect, go and sell. Well, how do you go and sell and give to the poor at the same time you're laying up for your children? You can't do it. You know why? Grace isn't about you. Grace is about Jesus Christ 2,000 years ago. That's what grace is about. Grace is about Him. It emphasizes His work, His finished work, not yours. That isn't about you. This thing in Corinthians about laying up, you can't. You know who tried to lay up some? Ananias and Sapphira. They just kept back a little bit of the money and they ended up dying. No. It's give it all. Come on, guys. This Bible is real. And the doctrine in it is real. And there's some people out there. Hey, Seth. Don't do that. Hannah, grab your Bible. You know how to read. Keep it in your lap. Put it in your lap and let's read it. Huh? Yeah. You need glasses?
No.
Okay. It'll be all right in your lap. Trust me. All right. 2 Corinthians 12 we just read. Now go back to Matthew 19. Verse 21 again. And Jesus said unto him, if thou wilt be perfect, go and sell that thou hast, and give to the poor, and thou shalt have treasures in heaven, and come and follow me. Sell out, and then come follow me. What did Paul tell that guy? He said, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. He didn't even list any of those things. Yes. It has to do with their mansions and their streets of gold. And yeah, when it comes down. Yeah, it adds up there and then comes down. The apostle, he didn't say, keep the commandments, sell out all that you have, come follow me. He said, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. Well, what is the deal here that he did this? I've done this a couple times, but for Renee, I think it's important. And for anybody on the internet that is new, I want to keep this as simple as I can possibly do. Yes. Oh, I thought you had a... Don't raise your hand. It's like an auction. You may buy something. Sold! Go to Roman... Huh? You know, I went to an auction one time. And, you know, it's kind of like when you take your car to a mechanic. It's been rumbling and it straightens out by the time you get there. You hate that? I'm at the auction and all of a sudden my nose itches. And I'm like... trying to make sure they didn't think my hand was going, oh! You know, I get all kinds of nervous. You ever do that? I get nervous at those things. They're talking so fast, you're not like... And I like it when they point at you, but sometimes they just nod. And I'm like, are they nodding at me? No! No! That's not what I want! Yeah. I once went to the state auction. Honest engine. This was so funny. There were two cars I was looking at. And I wrote down their numbers, and then I scratched out the other one because I realized it didn't have a motor in it. It was just a shell. And the other one had a motor. Well, it's all gone if I didn't bid on the wrong stupid car. I wonder why I got it for $500, you know? I'm like, this is crazy. I got the other one for $1,500, and it was like a $6,000 car. So I felt good about it, but, you know, I had to tow a stupid thing to the junkyard. Will you take this off my... Well, maybe. Who knows? I didn't know what else was wrong with it. I just, oh man, it was hilarious. I did learn my lesson. Romans 16, verse 25. Now watch. The reason they're two different programs is God had to keep something very secret. And this really explains what the deal is and why it's that way. And so if you want a big key to understanding your Bible, y'all want a big key? This is a big key. Okay? You ought to have this memorized, Tony. Right. Now watch this. Now to him that has the power to establish you according to my gospel. Whose gospel? Paul's. He says my gospel three times. Can anybody give me one of them? That's good. What? No. No. No, that's good. Romans 2:16. Yeah, 16 actually. Yeah, 2:16. You know, the gospel Paul preached, he calls it my gospel. And there's a very specific reason why he says that. Now to him that is power to establish you according to my gospel and the preaching of Jesus Christ according to the revelation been kept secret how long? All right, I'm going to write this line. That's, if it was kept secret, as it said, was it taught in the Old Testament?
No.
Was it taught in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John?
No.
Was it taught in the first part of the book of Acts? It wasn't given until Acts chapter 9. And in Acts chapter 8, Paul's wreaking havoc in the church. So we know it isn't before 8 that he gets it. It's 9 or thereafter. All got it? I mean, I can put that on a timeline, put that in a pipe and smoke it. That's the fact. Now, if it was kept secret, then Jesus couldn't have taught this gospel in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Amen? Go to 1 Corinthians, just one page or so. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 7. Since the world. Doesn't it say since? I have. Oh, there's another stating that things are before the foundation of the world. There's a comparison. Don't get that confused now. I'm not teaching on that. I can teach on that, but don't get that going in people's minds yet. 1 Corinthians chapter 2. I'll start in verse 6. I said verse 7, but let's start in verse 6. 1 Corinthians 2, verse 6, should be just a page. Howbeit we speak wisdom among them that are perfect, yet not the wisdom of this world, nor the princes of this world that come to naught. But we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery. You need to put Romans 16:25 in your Bible right there. Right there. Don't you feel bright? That's right. You'll look like, hey, before you know it, hey, these are starting to make sense. It won't make sense at first. You just keep writing them down. They're going to start making more sense. Now watch this. Now we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery, which had been kept housed since before the world began. So now it's being revealed. That's what's being revealed to Paul that he calls my gospel is the mystery. Why was it a mystery? Even the hidden wisdom which God... Well, hang on, brother. If you're going to get up here and preach, I'll let you preach and I'll be the cameraman. When I ask stupid questions, just let me get it. I'm stupid enough to answer them. You guys are really good. You know, it's like preaching to the choir. You guys know what you're doing. And I'm proud of you. No, it's true. We have some of the best group of people here that I've ever seen student-wise, and it's important. But let the other people learn like you did. Remember that they, it's a little fun discovering it on your own. All right. What a rhetorical question. Very good. You're going to pass English class 101. All right, let's try verse 7 again, since we've been wildly interrupted. I didn't say rudely, wildly. But we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery, even the hidden wisdom which God ordained before the world under our glory, which none of the princes of this world knew, that's Satan and his angels. For had they known it, the mystery, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. If they'd have gone back here before the cross, they would not have what? So whatever Paul got, had they known whatever the thing is called my gospel, had they got it back here, what would have happened? They wanted to crucify him. Well, what is that? That Christ died for our sins. Had Satan known that, Christ off that cross and given him CPR and kept him alive, and you would have died and gone to hell or had to pay your own sin. And the wages of sin is death. But God kept it a secret. Didn't reveal it to anybody. Didn't share it in the Old Testament back here in Genesis through Malachi. Didn't teach it in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John while he was walking here on earth in the embodiment of the Lord Jesus Christ. Didn't give it to Peter even after the Holy Spirit came in Acts chapter 2. But save the mystery until it was revealed to and through the Apostle Paul. What is the gospel? That Christ died for our sins. How many?
All.
Colossians says all. 2:13. Y'all understand? Christ died for... And listen, had he let that been known back here, how many churches are teaching out of Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John? 90% of them. Well, what gospel could they give you if the gospel that we preach has been hid? Because had they known it, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. How many people do you think are really saved? I'd say a lot less than you think. You want to know how somebody's saved? Ask them this question. If you were to die tonight, where would you go and why would you go there? Now, what happens if they answer, well, I believe in Jesus Christ. I believe in the death, burial, and resurrection. That's the wrong answer. Y'all understand? That's the wrong answer. Peter knew about the death, burial, and resurrection and didn't save him. That wasn't a mystery. Jesus Christ talked about the death, burial, and resurrection. He said, I must suffer many things of the elders and the chief priests, be killed, raised again the third day. They knew about the death, burial, and resurrection. What they didn't know about is that Christ, when he hung on that cross, became your sin, became what you were at that cross, and was nailed to the cross because of your sins, and died to death because of your sins, so that you could have eternal life. And that's why Paul, when asked the question, go ahead. Probably about 3 years. Approximately. Guys, listen to me. People that are listening to church messages out of Matthew, Mark, Luke, all you that are heavy laden, all that, that's garbage. It doesn't tell you how to be saved, and you sit there and you're sitting there curious. Deborah said, well, eventually nobody can get saved. Nobody can figure this stuff out. What do you do? Do you walk the aisle for Jesus? Do you say the sinner's prayer? Do you get baptized? What is it that you do? I bet most people would do just about anything to be saved, but they have no clue. And you know what? The preachers don't have any clue. You know what you got to do? Absolutely nothing. He's done it all. You got to rest in what he did. You got to relax. You've got to just relax. Either he paid it all, or you're going to die and go to hell. Either or. You're not going to make it on your good works. That's true. You know what I tell people? Look, don't tell me when you got saved. Tell me when you got lost. Man, listen, you get all nervous and worked up. Let me tell you, in your mind, you'll get saved. Ain't nobody going to tell you. Boy, when you start to doubt or wonder or question, you're lost. Why would you be doubting? Why would God want you to doubt? God doesn't want you to doubt. You know what? I don't go around wondering whether he died for all my sins. I believe he paid for it all. Thank God, too. Yes, Carlton. Yes, amen. He said there was a common denominator, just so that you can hear this on the internet, that of the grace preachers, that they all have the same common message that you got to get lost and then get saved, and there's a central figure. Listen, guys, we're not trying to confuse people. We're trying to make it so simple it's ridiculous. Here's the deal. God had a gospel that he kept secret. He revealed it to and through the Apostle Paul. Okay? What did he reveal? A mystery. This mystery was so unique that had they taught it in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John or the Old Testament, they would have not crucified the Lord of glory. That right there is enough for you to understand that there are two gospels. Okay? This gospel, had it been preached back here, could have been, couldn't it? But they would have never crucified the Lord of glory. And without the shedding of blood, there is no remission of sins. It takes the shed blood of Jesus Christ to remit your sins. Can't be done any other way. The sacrifice has got to be perfect and spotless. There was only one human being. The first Adam failed. Every man has sinned since then. There's only been one man on planet Earth that had not sinned. One. You know who it was? My Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. And, you know, guys, listen to me. He's the only one that could be your kinsman redeemer. He's it. There's nobody else that could save you. You can't walk, you can't say enough, you can't do enough in order to be saved. Why? There ain't none good. None. There's not a just person upon the earth that doeth good and sinneth not. All have sinned. I mean, come on, guys. Grace is the greatest message in the thing. And the reality is you've got to get a hold of it. Why? If you don't, you're going to end up missing the rapture. You will miss the rapture. You'll walk right in into a deception that God says He'll use a strong delusion that you will believe a lie. And if you're not sure you're saved, if you're not sure, get it settled. Today's a pretty good day to get saved. Get it saved today. Say, hey, I don't know what I believe. I don't know all that, but I know what I believe right now. You know, and the reality is when you start to rightly divide, you start to see the difference between, good master, what good thing shall I do that I may have eternal life? And he says, why calleth me thou good? There is none good but one. But if thou wilt enter into life, keep the commandments. And on the other hand, you have the Apostle Paul says, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. So the commandments were taken out of the way and nailed to the cross. Sell out all that you have, the Apostle Paul says, lay up for your children. Well, you can't do what Jesus told the 12 to do. It won't get you into the place that you want to go. You have to have the right key. You know what the right key is? The gospel of the grace of God. One last verse, Romans chapter 1. Now, wouldn't you hate missing tonight, Renee? You got some tonight. I saw your face. It's a little tricky at first when you come. You know, Paul said, I have to feed you with milk and not with meat. You know, because you'll choke on some of this stuff. But I understand that. But we know the hind neck, so don't worry. You get too much Bible, you know, gook in your neck, we'll get it out of you. It's probably okay, but if it's stuck, it stinks. Too much, you know, what? You can... Oh, like you haven't Bible puked before. I Bible puked, said, man, I don't even know what I believe anymore. There's so much stuff stuck in there. You know what? It's great when it finally can get it, amen? And you know what? The truth shall make you free. Not set you free, make you free. It's the greatest thing. Where did I tell you? Romans 1? I went verse 15. So much as in me is, I'm ready to preach the gospel. What is the gospel? That Christ died for our sins. 1 Corinthians 15, 1 through 4. You need to put that right there in your Bible. That's the gospel. To you that are Rome also. For I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. For it, the gospel of Christ, is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that what? Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. To the Jew first. Yes. And you can put Colossians chapter 2, verse 13 and 14. So, that's it for tonight.